Good.
Well, I had my first experience of chai. I won't call it chai tea because I'm TT. That meant something else when we were growing up. But yeah. Okay. Let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 3. We'll be looking at the topic of trust, trusting, relying, and peace. Proverbs chapter 3. See this in frames and on refrigerators and things. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, my son, forget not my law. Forget not my law. But let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. And so shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Good understanding can be translated as success. Because of your prudence, good understanding, in the sight of God and man. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. How much of thine heart? All thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. So moistening to the bones. Going back to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not. We're going to look at that word lean. I'm going to lean on Raj here. Raj is supporting me. He's holding me up. I'm relying on Raj so that I don't fall down. This is that leaning, to not lean on my own understanding, but I'm going to trust in God. I'm not going to lean. I'm not going to rely upon my own understanding as my support, as my confidence, but God. And then it says, to not be wise in thine own eyes. In all thy ways, verse 6, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. There's a lot of alls in there, isn't there? A lot of alls. All thine heart, all thy ways. It's kind of like all or nothing. Kind of, you see that? It's a decision. With wonderful consequences. We're going to go to another place, a very familiar place in the Bible, Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. I've got a new Bible, so I don't have all the stars and arrows and stuff like I used to around this one. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Thou wilt keep. Keep is guard, protect, preserve. It's translated as watchman in one point. To keep, to guard. thou wilt guard him in perfect peace. And that's shalom, shalom. And that peace is an all-encompassing peace. It's hard to even put man's words to the greatness of that shalom, shalom. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. Everything is very, very well. Everything is provided. Everything is protected. All that is encompassed in that peace, peace, that shalom, shalom. Thou wilt guard him in that kind of peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Now, you've heard of like the stayed mind and things where it's your focus, keeping your mind, stay mind, right? But this word stayed is it's to rest or to rely or to lean on. And it's an active thing where I must lean on or I'm going to rely. I'm to be supported by thee because he trusteth in thee. To rely is a decision. Did I want to be propped up by anything else or do I want to be propped up by God? As far as support and rest upon. And then it says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is an everlasting strength. And some versions have that as the rock of ages. It's a rock of ages. Pretty wild. To lean upon, we looked in Proverbs, to not lean on onto our own understanding. And then here, where we rely on him, we trust in him. He's going to keep us in perfect peace, whose mind, whose thinking relies on him, who's supported by him, who's leaning on him, because he trusteth in thee. Now we're going to go in the Old Testament, look at a wonderful record that shows really this relying, this leaning upon. When I look in God's word, I see that word trust, and to the best of my ability to understand it, to trust something is to have confidence in. But to rely is more than have confidence in. It's where I choose to be supported by it, where I'm leaning on it. Okay, I can have confidence in something and choose not to rely on it. Do you raise your hand, class. Do you? It's a lot easier at school. I have a thing. Everybody good? And they all go like this. But see, I can have confidence in something and still choose not to rely upon it. And that thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind relies, whose thinking relies on him, because he trusts. Because you're not going to rely on something that you don't have confidence in. So the trusting is important, but the relying is an action. It's a decision. We're going to go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, that well-worn part of our Bibles. Second Chronicles, and we're going to look at a record concerning a king named Asa. Okay? Second Chronicles chapter 14. It's so wonderful that God gave us these Old Testament records to show us how he is with his people and the relationship. There's great learning in the Old Testament. I so love it. But the King Asa here, verse 1, so Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years. Little backstory. So let's look at Asa, who he is. Well, we've got King David. King David was a man after God's own heart that would fulfill his will. And then we have Solomon. And Solomon had great wisdom as he looked to God. But then later on, after he was old, the wives turned away his heart after other gods. And he wasn't perfect with the Lord God as was the heart of David his father. Then you have Solomon's son, Rehoboam. And Rehoboam, in 2 Chronicles 12, 14, you can see he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. And then you've got Abijah, the one that just said died. So that's Asa's dad. And let's go there, because a little reading. First King, put your finger here, your ribbon here. We'll come back. We're going to take a little look at who Asa's dad was. First Kings, chapter 15. So 1 Kings chapter 15. This is Asa's dad. This is a little backstory on Asa a little bit. And you had the split of the kingdom between Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and there was wars between them. And this is Abijah up against Jeroboam. Okay? Abijah being the king of Judah, Jeroboam being the king of what was Israel, the northern 10 tribes. And It's really interesting where it says 1 Kings chapter 15 verse 3, and it said, and he walked in all the sins of his father which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord as his God, Lord his God, as the heart of David his father. Nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem. Why? Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. So you've got this. You've got Abijah. Now we're going to go back. We're going to go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. So you've got the family tree here. And we're looking at this man Asa. It's really quite interesting what they say about Asa. And verse 2. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Okay? And Asa, for he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and brake down the images, and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. Big thing here. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers. This is going to come into play a little later. So he makes his commandment for his kingdom. You're going to seek God. Seeking God. So, verse 4. And commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. And he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. And he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Now this is interesting. While he's at rest, therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities, and make them walls, and towers, and gates, and bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built, and they prospered. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000. Wow, quite a standing army. But then it says, out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 200,000. And 80,000, so 280,000 more. And all these were mighty men of valor. So we got 580,000 mighty men of valor. You know? And when God says mighty men of valor, I'm sure they were. So, do you see all the seeking God and sought God? And then it just gives a commentary about Asa's military. And then verse 9. And there came out against them Zerah of the Ethiopian with an host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots. So we got 1,000,000 guys. You got 300 chariots. That's the M1 tank of the day, so to speak. And they came to Marishah. And Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephthah at Marishah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Did he have some power? 580,000 mighty men of valor. He really didn't need to go to God, did he? He had 580,000 mighty men of... Oh, he's going to God. With many or them that have no power. Help us. Help us. And this word help means to succor or to support. You see? Succor or support. Help us, O Lord our God, for we, and here's the thing, for we rest on thee. And this is that leaning. We lean on thee. He says, "I help us or support us, and we're going to lean on you as our support." See? That just thrills my soul when I think about this. For we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude, O Lord. Thou art our God. And listen to this statement. Let not man prevail against who? Thee. Not us. Thee. To put this in a beautiful perspective. So, the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa, before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, or they could not be alive, they could not sustain life, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his hosts, and they carried away very much spoil. They ended up with better off than before. They carried away very much spoil. But I love this prayer at the beginning. He cried unto God. He says, it's nothing, it's no big shake with you, God, whether we have many or no power. And I thought, what a beautiful point. Because many times in my own life, in my past, if I had the power to do something, I would just rely on, I've done this before 100 times. Or, I usually can do this, I don't even have to think about it. Where we started in Proverbs, to acknowledge him in all thy ways, to let him direct our paths. You know, to a reminder, hey, look, God in on it. He wants, we heard in manifestations, he wants in on our lives. He so wants to take care of us. So we can rely on him. We can allow him to direct the path. And here, Asa had, he had some power. He had 580,000 mighty men of valor. He still goes to God for support, to lean on God. And God takes care of it. He takes care of it in a magnificent way. Chapter 15. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him, and if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, for a long season Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. A nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Think about that. No peace to him that went out or come in. You know, we think, oh, things are really bad now. How do you think things was then? Pretty something. A nation, verse 6, was destroyed of nation, a city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And Asa heard these words of the prophecy of Oded the prophet, and he took courage and put away all the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon. For they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. You got Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon. They were all of Israel when the split of the kingdom. But they fell out of those tribes in abundance when they saw that Jehovah was with him. So they gathered themselves together, verse 10, at Jerusalem in the third month in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen, 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with their heart, all their heart, and all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to what? Death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice. Because I guess swearing with a loud voice is more than just swearing. And with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath. Interesting. They rejoiced at the oath. For they sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them. And the Lord gave them rest round about. Then it talks about Asa's mom here. He cut down her idol. Poor lady. Took her off her position. Verse 17, but the high places were not taken out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect. What does it say? All his days. And he brought into the house of God the things there. These are holy things that his father had dedicated and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. And there was no more war unto the 35th year of the reign of Asa. Things are looking pretty good. They're seeking the Lord. They even made a big covenant together. We're going to seek the Lord. We're going to rely on him. We're going to seek him. Chapter 16 comes. Chapter 16. In the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. So basically what you've got is this siege. They won't let anyone come out. No one go in. Now, Baasha is the king of Israel. The split kingdom there. And this was this king, Asa, who said, you know, it's no big thing with you, guy, whether there's many or few, or no power. Same guy. And it said, verse 2, it's like you scratch your head. Then Asa brought out the silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there's a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. There's a lot of stuff going on here. When it says he brought out the silver out of the treasures, that word treasures pretty much means all of it. The remaining amount. The remaining out of the house of the Lord. Was that Asa's to give? That wasn't Asa's to give. His own treasures, if he felt like it, that was his to give. But he makes this decision. Remember how Proverbs said to lean not unto thine own understanding? What we're going to see here is this is Asa leaning on his own understanding. And this is someone who had experience of seeing God move mighty on his behalf. Yeah, yeah. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, verse 4, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they smote Ijon and Dan and Abel-Maim and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off the building of Ramah, that siege around, and let his work cease. And then Asa the king took all Judah and carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. Now you can go into Kings and see it wasn't that he just took all Judah out. It was a commandment. They had no choice. It's like, everybody, we're going out and we're tearing this thing down. And on the surface, you could look and see that Asa was successful. His plan worked. His plan worked on the surface. And so many times, if we do not include God in our plans, it may appear that on the surface that we were successful in what we set out to do. Here, Asa, appearing to be very successful. Baasha left. Everything worked. Ben-Hadad took care of it for him. And verse 7. And at that time, Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied, and that's our word, that leaning, hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Verse 8. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, and therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. So God pretty much very plainly lays it out to Asa. Look, didn't I take care of you before? Is my word faithful when I say, you know, well, I do what I will do? You're to lean upon me, because you did not lean upon me and you lean upon man to take care of this thing instead of me. Now you're going to have wars. And you'll see from then on, Syria, wars and wars and wars and problems and problems and problems in the future for these kingdoms. And he says, look, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. And Asa said, thanks for the reproof. Boy, next time that's not going to happen again. Whew. Thanks for speaking the word to me, Brother Han and I. No. Verse 10, Asa was wroth. He was mad. He was mad with the seer. Hey, you ever heard the old expression, don't shoot the messenger? You know, he's mad at the guy. The guy's doing what God wants him to do. He's telling him like it is, telling him from God. And Asa's mad at the guy. So Asa put him in prison, for he was in a rage with him. Hey, what did Asa think about his plan? I'm the man. Look at that. We did it. Yeah, this is a great idea. And then somebody comes up and tells them otherwise? Why? Because God wants them to know. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until the disease was exceeding great. Yea, in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And then, of course, this is an Asa slept with his fathers. But he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. This whole chapter thing we started reading, what did he command Judah to do? Seek the Lord. And then they made a covenant. We're going to make a covenant to seek the Lord. You know, it's interesting. Remember he says there's a league between my father and your father? You know what that word league means? It's covenant. It's cutting. So Asa was asking Baasha to break a covenant in order to do for him. Now, Baasha break a covenant with Baasha, because evidently Ben-Hadad had cut a covenant with Baasha too as a league. Break that league with Baasha. Break that cutting with that. So he's asking someone to break a covenant. He's asking someone to break a commitment like that. And that was a little bit different in those days. When you cut a covenant with someone, you're vowed to death. And so this whole thing that Asa did was really not just a good idea on his own part, but it was a very foolish or wicked idea on his own part. It says, when you relied upon God, things were taken care of. Weren't a thousand a little bit bigger than what Baasha could muster up, I'm sure. And then he just got upset with, because his plan wasn't well. And then he sought not God with the disease, and he died. You know, when you read that record about the Baasha and the siege in Kings, it makes no mention. No mention of it at all. It just states the facts that it was successful, that it happened. You look in the book of Chronicles and you get a different perspective of God's perspective about what's really going on here, what really was going on. As he sought not the Lord, he didn't lean upon the Lord for support. It was his own idea. He basically emptied the house of the Lord with the holy things, the dedicated gold things, we had no business doing. But it was successful in that Baasha left. And I think it's a beautiful example in God's word of trusting, relying, leaning for support, and then not. A good idea versus the best idea. And the best idea is to lean upon God, to let him be our support and our direction. Now, I'd like to go back to Isaiah 26:3, if I may. Isaiah 26:3, where we, towards the beginning where we started. Thou wilt keep him, thou wilt guard him in that shalom, shalom, that perfect peace, whose mind is thinking, his thoughts is relying on thee, leaning on thee, supported by thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now let's close in Philippians. Philippians. Something's going to look very familiar. I'll get there. There we go. Philippians chapter 4. Another wonderful, familiar section of Scripture, but it's great as the world speaks loudly and often frequently, we can let God's word speak loudly and frequently as we put this stuff on. His truths don't get old. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful or anxious for what? Nothing. Not one thing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep. And guess what that keep is? It's guard. Just like back in Isaiah 26. That peace is going to guard my heart. Guard your hearts and minds. How? Through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. The leaning on God didn't go out of fashion with the Old Testament. It's alive and well now. And yet think about when we seek God and not lean unto our own understanding, rely on our own understanding. But because when we're relying upon our own understanding, then there's place for worry. Then there's place for anxiety. I know me. It's not, you know. But you look at that. You know, how many sleepless nights do you want? Have you ever laid there in bed and you have something before you that you're not sure of what to do or how to do it? And you toss and you turn and you think and you wonder and you fear. This is not what God's idea of what he wants for us to be. You know, that peace of God, which exceeds our understanding, shall keep, shall guard our hearts through Christ Jesus. Well, instead of the anxious thoughts, and, you know, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. So when those times of anxious thoughts come, we seek God. We bring it to him. We seek him. We don't have to lean on our own understanding, because if that's the case, then there's going to be sleepless nights. There's going to be some worry or some fear. But God says, you know, I don't want the worry and fear for you. I love you. So I'll bring it to me. I'll take care of it. And I'll take care of it not only a good way, but I'll take care of it the best way, because I'm God. And then that peace will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So the sleepless nights, the wasted time of thinking and sweating and wondering, that's not what God wants for us. But we can turn to him, and he lays it out in Philippians. What a beautiful way for us to do that is in prayer, in supplication, with thanksgiving. And it started out the whole section, rejoice. Right? Rejoice. Not just, it's going to be okay. No, rejoice. Rejoice. We bring that to God. We seek him out, and we trust in him. We lean on him, and he will take care of it, not just the good way, but in a very best way. So there's having confidence in our God, but then we make the decision where we want to trust him, or we want to, to lean on him. He is the one that we're going to lean on for our support, to rest upon him, that our minds can lean on him. And then in both Philippians and in Isaiah 26, you see that peace. You saw that with Asa too when he was leaning on God. They had peace. They had peace in abundance. They had so much peace that they could build and they could be blessed. But when they turned on, when they relied upon his own understanding, he says, I'm sorry, you're going to have wars on your own understanding. So we have these beautiful records. So Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, how you show us so many beautiful ways of your ways. Thank you, Father, for it's not just a tease, but we can see how you were then, and we know that you are that way now. Thank you, Father, that we can we can trust in you. We know your faithfulness, your trustworthiness, and I ask you to help us with our hearts to be convinced enough to try, to turn to you, to seek you, and knowing that as we trust in you, it'll be sure and steadfast. Thank you, Father, for your wonderful care and concern for all of our lives and the details of our lives, and for the privilege of being able to come to you without anxiety. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.